I really do thank the Lord for giving me opportunities to share with you, ladies. As I told you at the beginning, I am very nervous about things like this, mainly because I know all of us have read Scripture for so long, and every one of you could bring to this table something new, every single one of you. You've all been taught by the Lord, and it sort of seems intimidating to sit in front of a group of ladies who already know it all. And yet we all know that we don't know it all. We're all just scratching the surface, and we do also know that we are all together in this learning process. I have thoroughly enjoyed learning certain things from the book of Jude, and I'm sure that you will be stimulated to do further study as well. Today's topic is called victory, and I love the way they've been changing these little signs up here. It's gone from history to mystery and now to victory. We want to read the little portion of scripture where we stopped yesterday. Now, we stopped talking, I stopped talking basically after up to verse 11. Does anybody have verse 12 that reads differently from what I'm going to read right now? I'm going to read it. If you've got something that reads differently to that, I would like you just to read it out loud. Put your hand up first and I'll spot you, and then you can just read it out loud. This says, I'm reading from the New International Version, which is the version we just had read to us. Verse 12, these men are blemishes at your love feast. Anybody got anything different? Okay, Rosemary?
Me, King James. These are spots in your love feast.
These are spots in your love feast. Anybody got anything else different? Okay, Suzanne?
When these men join you at the love feast of the church.
Okay, when these men join you at the love feast. Okay, it doesn't describe them very well. They are not as spots or blemishes. Anybody got a different one? Yes?
These are spots in your feast of charity.
Right at the back? Excellent. We found one that I'm looking for. These men are like hidden reefs in your love feast. Now, what version did you read from? The New American Standard. Anybody else got anything similar to that? Anything different? Yes? Okay, dirty spots. So we've got blemishes, dirty spots, and hidden reefs. Now, I don't know whether any of you have learnt how to use a good concordance. But if you look at a concordance, James and Fawcett and Brown, or any one of those, not the one at the back of your Bible, but you take a regular concordance, you will find that there is the word that you're looking up. Alright? So you're looking for this particular word which says blemishes. And next to the word blemishes will be a few dots, and then right at the end of that same line will be a number. It might say 5,721. Just a number. If you turn to the back of that concordance, there's lists of numbers, and you can find 5,721. And next to that it will tell you what that particular word in the Hebrew or the Greek is. So 5,721, it'll tell you that particular word, and it will tell you where it comes from, the root of that word. And this particular word that we're looking at today talks about spots and blemishes, but it also talks about reefs or hidden rocks. So it could come from two different sides, but the root word would mean something in the way. Something that you don't want over there. A reef is a spot that you don't want to hit, is it? Isn't it? It's a place that you don't want to go. And so if you follow through your Jameson, Fawcett and Brown concordance or something like that, you will find that. Now, have fun when you go home, because every single word in your Bible is in there. And it's numbered. Every single word is numbered. It's a fascinating way to study the Bible and to find out what it actually means. All right, verse 12, that's a little, you know, incentive for you to do something at home. Verse 12, it says, these men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit, and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Now, what a terrific description here. Any English teacher would just think this was marvelous. Somebody has really thought up all these little pictures for us. Each one is a little picture. And they've said over here that they are shepherds who are greedy, there are clouds who are dry, there are trees that give you no fruit, there are waves that just leave dirty foam on the beach, and there are stars that don't shine. Wandering stars. Oh, we all love the song, don't we? Oh, we can all remember it. Wandering stars. Yeah, it all makes you feel romantic when you think of stars. And then you think of wishing on a wishing star that's your shooting star and all this sort of stuff. But do you know what stars were used for in the Old Testament and in the New Testament? Guidance. Of course, they were used for guidance. You know the story of the baby Jesus, when the baby was born, the magi that followed the star. And wandering stars were no good. They had to be ones that were heading in the right direction. If they wandered around all over the place, they weren't any good at all. They didn't give you any direction. So all of these things that they're talking about here are not very nice things. They're not doing what they should do. But today we want to look at victory. And we want to look at almost the other side of the coin. When I was in Canada in the early 70s, they had a program on the radio which was called The Flip Side of the Record. Now, I just love listening to the introduction because they said, this is the flip side of the record. And then they would play a record that all of us knew, like in those days it was records, it wasn't cassettes and all these modern things they've got. Fancy sending a cassette by email. Isn't that fancy? Yeah, all right, well, in those days they were little black things, you know, you remember them? Some of you do. And what they did was they had singles that they put out, because girls and boys like to get their favorite song. So you'd get your favorite song on one side of the record, but of course on the other side there'd be some deadbeat song that nobody ever wanted to listen to. And so this particular radio program played just one line from the beat or the hit song, and then they said, and now the flip side of the record, and they would turn it over and play the other side. Now, I don't know what was on the other side for all these different songs, but today we want to flip the record over and play the other side, because we've got a description over here which tells you about some horrible things, awful people, greedy shepherds that do nothing but eat instead of feeding. There are people, clouds here that should give you rain, and those of you that have been involved in farming or know what it's like, now that's discouraging. There's no rain at all. The cloud comes, no rain. And then it says, these are trees that they should have fruit, but not only do they not have fruit, they've been pulled up, so they're never going to give you any fruit. They've been pulled up. They're twice dead, it says. And then it goes on to say that they are wandering stars that are reserved for the blackest of darkness. Now, when my husband is greeted in the morning or any time during the day, he's usually greeted with the words, how are you? Some of you have had that said to you. Oh, how are you? Well, he's discovered that he will reply in a particular way. So every time anybody asks him, how are you? He says, if I told you, you'd be jealous. It throws people completely off guard. Absolutely off guard, because he says this every time, and usually they can't understand his accent, so he's got to say it twice. And they say, what did you say? He says, if I told you, you'd be jealous. They say, oh, really, that good, eh? Today I want to tell you that we have victory in the Lord. And this is a description of apostates, people who do not trust the Lord the way they should. Now, what is the flip side of the record for those of us who do trust the Lord? So let's look at a couple of verses now. Let's just look at 1 Peter, chapter 2. By the way, 2 Peter contains a lot of Jude. If you wanted to read 2 Peter, you'll find almost the whole of Jude in 2 Peter. But we're going to look at 1 Peter now. 1 Peter, chapter 2. verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I won't read the whole scripture which follows there, but I want you to look at that. Remember we said that we found one reference which called these spots and blemishes reefs or rocks? What's the opposite of a hidden reef? A living stone. That's the flip side of the record. We've got these horrible hidden reefs or these blemishes and spots, but what are you? Let's read it again. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, shouldn't that make you feel 10 feet tall? I'm sure you've heard Evie Tornquist's little song way back. Some of you remembered Evie because she was about your vintage too. She was 4'11" and on her way to heaven, and that made her feel 10 feet tall. Absolutely incredible truth here, that we are living stones. Some of you might remember early science experiments that you did at school, grade 5, grade 4, somewhere around about there. You first started learning science. Until then, it was just subjects that you just did, you know, the whole class just went on. But now there was a special subject called science. And then you were given one day a magnet and some iron filings. Yes, you remember it. And maybe even a piece of paper on which you put your iron filings on top and your magnets underneath. And they would do all sorts of funny things. They would all come around and make little patterns. Then you could move the magnets the other way and the poles would be the other way and everything would move. And you might have even had those two little doggies. Do you remember the two little doggies you could get? They were plastic doggies and they had a magnet underneath. Oh, some of you remember it, I know. And what you did is you kept one doggy under the table and you put the other one on top, and then you moved your hand under the table and the one on top mysteriously moved all around because of the magnetic pull underneath. Ladies, we are living stones. Not dead stones, but we're like magnets. We can do all sorts of fantastic things with iron filings. And what's more, sometimes people move mysteriously, and it's because you have prayed for them. Okay, hidden under the table. But this is the victory that we have in Christ. We are not hidden reefs that ships are going to be hitting and sinking. We're not spots and blemishes on the tablecloth. I would have loved to have used that illustration. I think that's a gorgeous one coming from the lace perspective. We're not those sorts of things, not spots and blemishes at the love feast, but we are actually living stones. And this is the victory that we have in Christ. Let's look on. What does it say? It says, these people are shepherds who feed only themselves. Now, you all know what I'm going to come to here. You know the story of Peter, don't you? I don't even need to turn you to it because you know it's in the Bible. You know the story of Peter and how he was asked by the Lord a very simple question. And I want to ask you that question this morning. I want to put it in just a little bit more of a colloquial way. Rather than the way the Lord said it, the Lord said, "Do you love me?" I want to ask you the question, "Are you in love?" It's a very simple question, and it's one that is rather bandied around nowadays. You find any radio station and they're singing about love. If you listen to old Beatles song, it was love, 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 love. That's all the world needs is love. And love makes the world go round, and love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. Isn't it amazing, that word that's being changed in its meaning so much? Can mean so much. I was up in Nullumboy, which is way up in northern Queensland, Northern Australia, in the territory, I went up to Darwin and then turned right and there I was. But I went to Nguyen Boi, and it's not very big. Some of you might know it as the Gove. Gove is sort of the bigger section of it. It's not very big at all. But here I was, and there was just a little shopping centre and a little toilet, and I needed to go. So I went down to this little toilet, and there, scratched on the back of the door, was, "Love is good. Love is golden. Love can be made in the back of a Holden." Oh dear. What a different connotation for the word love. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Jesus was asking a very serious question here. Because you see, just prior to that, Peter had denied the Lord. He had been, if we had looked at it on the outside, apostate in his behavior. He had rejected the Lord. This is what he had said out in public. Do you remember he had been around a fire? And three times he denied the Lord around the fire. And now the Lord comes in his risen form and he makes a fire. It said he had some coals on the beach. And he calls Peter across and says, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Of course, Lord, of course I love you." And Jesus said it again. And again, three times. Now, when he finished saying that, he asked him, or told him, to do one thing. "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." In other words, he said, "Be a good shepherd. Don't be like these ones that we've talked about here. These ones are greedy shepherds who feed only themselves. They're not interested in other people, but they want, if you're a good shepherd, to feed other people." Ladies, it's our responsibility, all of us, to feed other people. You know, we love to just feed ourselves, don't we? We love to come to camps like this and just soak it all in. I reckon that a lot of us Christians are like whales. Now, I don't mean in size. But you know what whales do? They go for months on end without eating. They come all the way up to Harvey Bay and give birth and then go all the way back down to Tasmania, and that's when they eat. But they could spend 6 months without eating at all. But when they go down, they just gorge themselves and feed. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We come to a camp and we said, "Okay, this is Tasmania," you know. We gorge ourselves. And then we seem to go all year and we don't eat. Sometimes we even give birth. We've got so many things to do, so many things to take care of, and we don't eat at all. And then we come back again at the end of the year to another camp or something like this, and we get fed all over again. Well, that's good and bad. The good point is that you do get fed sometimes. But the bad point is that you're not a whale, and you need to feed yourself on a constant basis. But here, we're not talking about that side of the record, we're talking about the flip side of the record now, and the scripture says, you are to feed other people. That's what the true shepherds should do. All right, let's keep reading. It says, "They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind." Now, we all know that clouds do need the wind. I'm sure if you remember your first science lessons where you had to draw clouds, you had cumulative clouds and then all those other ones that looked like feathers across the sky, and then there were other ones that carried rain, and they were generally dark clouds, weren't they? They weren't light, fluffy clouds. I remember flying over Australia once, and it was absolutely incredible because I looked like I was above the clouds, which I was, and there was this whole carpet of clouds underneath, and I felt like jumping out of the window. I thought, wouldn't it be lovely just to land on that? I don't know whether it would have been, but I thought it would have been. But here we have a scripture that I want you to look at. John chapter 7 and verse 38. John's Gospel chapter 7, verse 38. Started verse 37. It says, "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Ladies, this is your body that it's talking about. It's not just talking about Jesus being the fountain of living water, but it says over here that whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So you will be not a waterless cloud, but you will be a stream of living water. We have some very interesting discussions at work. I have girls and about six of us that work together, all coming from different perspectives. And we have some interesting perspectives on life. We've just had a major tragedy. One of the girls had her sister-in-law die of cancer. And it just happened sort of within 6 months. Everything happened. She had a little sore tooth and had no idea what it was, went to the dentist. And he said, "Oh, there's something a bit more than a sore tooth here." And within 6 months, she was gone. Now, it can be, everybody that's got sore teeth, don't be worried. But it can happen like this. And when something like that happens amongst a group of people, you start to talk about things that are important, necessary things, things that you might never talk about if nothing like that had happened. Because who wants to talk about death and dying in the world hereafter unless there's a reason for it? And the scripture says here that when things like that happen, you are like a stream of living water. You are to refresh people. You are not to be just a cloud without any rain at all. You're not to be one that comes along and they can find comfort in you, and when they look up and look to you, you say, "Oh no, don't ask me those questions. I don't know those answers." But you should have that joy that comes within you, that is a stream of living water. I don't have all the answers, and nor do you, but you do have some. And the ones you have are the important ones. Ladies, the truth that God has given you is what you should share with other people. Don't force it on them, but when it comes, be ready to give an answer. Be joyous in what you're going to say. And remember, it is truth. There is something important here that you are sharing. You are living water. And then it goes on to another picture. This one says, this is a dead tree. Absolutely no fruit at all. Now, I think there was a time when Jesus actually cursed a tree. Do you remember that? And that story has quite always been a mystery to me, because I thought, well, it wasn't even the season for giving fruit. And yet Jesus got quite upset. Now, I'm not about to explain all the stories that happened in Jesus' time, but there was a time when Jesus needed fruit and the tree just gave it leaves. And you say, "Lord, well, it's not really my time." And Jesus says, "No, it is always your time to give the Master fruit." That is our responsibility. It is always our time to minister to Jesus. Now, I'm talking about the flip side of the record here. I'm not talking about Jesus ministering to you, but it's you ministering to him. And I use that term very carefully. I don't mean you're going to teach Jesus anything, but I do mean that you're going to be an encouragement to him. We are called his gifts, and he rejoices in us. And it is our responsibility to respond correctly to him. You know, it's lovely when you've got little E's at home and they come around and they say, "Mummy, I love you." Oh, it's so cute when they do that. But some of you have little E's that never do that. In fact, I've got big E's. They're not little E's anymore. They've grown up, and you know, it's not very common to do that sort of thing. I just saw the movie Angela's Ashes, which is all about life in Ireland in the 30s, 40s. And there was a very strange dichotomy between the father and the son. The son loved his father dearly. The father was a drunk who never provided for his family and really was a no good. But the son loved his dad. And his father leaves at one stage in the movie, and the son follows him way, way in the background, doesn't want his dad to even know that he's following him. But his dad sort of catches on. And his dad tells him to go home. And the boy is standing in the doorway, and he's thinking now as an adult. And he says, if I was an American, I would have said, Daddy, I love you. But he says, I'm not. I'm Irish. And so I just went home. Do you know, sometimes we hide behind our own culture. We say, oh, we don't do those sorts of things. But to Jesus, we should. It is our responsibility to minister to him. Just like a little kid that goes up and says, Daddy, I love you. That would make his daddy feel so pleased. We are God's children, and it is our responsibility to come to him like that and offer him the fruit. Let's look at a verse of scripture. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, and it will tell you what we actually are. There's a lovely portion in Isaiah 61, but I won't read the whole thing. We'll just pick it up in verse 3. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And then this is the part we want to read. They will be called trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I love that last little bit. For the display of his splendor. What were these trees that were apostate? They were dead trees. They were no fruit-bearing trees. And they were uprooted trees. In other words, they could not grow anymore. That was it. They were a tree only because they had been a tree. They were no longer going to produce. And this particular portion of scripture tells us what we are. We are not just trees of righteousness, but we are a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That's us, ladies. Isn't that incredible? That's us. For the display of his splendor. I love coming up to places like Burley and other places, campsites, because they're usually set in beautiful bush settings. And you can go for little walks. I said, you can go for little walks. I'm not much of a walker at all. I love balconies that you can just look at everything from. But isn't it beautiful to look at the trees just around Burley here? Some of the beautiful old trees. All sorts of places that you go to. Some of you actually have taken holidays in Oregon. And you've seen those beautiful, huge pine trees. Absolutely marvelous redwood trees. Huge things. Do you know what? They're not a patch on you. They're only part of God's creation. Because it says you are a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Oh, ladies, sometimes when we get discouraged and we think nobody's very interested in me and I'm not very good and I'm getting old and I wish I could do the things that I wish the young people, that you know, I wish I was like them or I wish I could be like somebody else and all that sort of stuff. Guess what? One tree ain't no good. It's a whole planting of the Lord. It's all of us, all together. And each tree makes up this forest, this planting of the Lord, a display of his splendor. And then there's another one that we've got to go to. Sorry, we can't stay at all these, but each one of them could be a food for thought for a year. Go on to the next one, and it says, these are wild waves of the sea foaming up their shame. My son is a surfer. He likes this, wild waves of the sea. He loves to see great big waves. I don't think he's going to be able to tackle those big ones that they do in the American championships where they're 30 and 40 feet high. Those look a bit scary. But he loves surfing. He loves waves. But look what it's telling you about here. It says, not just waves, they are wild waves. So you can't get a good pipeline in one of those. They're wild. They're backwards and forwards. There's no smooth roll about them. And then it says, they foam up their shame. This is dirty stuff, it says. Shame, things that you're not pleased with. They foam up their shame and it's left all along the front of the beach. And it's not a very nice beach at all. Australia has some of the most beautiful beaches in the world. And I'm sure you've seen ugly beaches as well, and you've said, oh, it's not as good as Burley. We brag a bit about the beautiful beaches you've got here. But this is a dirty beach. Now let's look at a little scripture which tells us a little bit about ourselves. And we'll go to Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 48. And it tells us a little bit about what we have. Not raging waves. Isaiah chapter 48. And we'll go from verse 17. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my command, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Ladies, you have paid attention to his command, and therefore your peace is like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Isn't that incredible? Righteousness is something that we find hard to describe because it's got these sort of I'm very proud connotation to it. You know, a righteous person is a person who's holier than thou, and so on. But if you realize that your righteousness is in Christ, and all your righteousness in yourself is like filthy rags, so all your good deeds ain't no good, but your righteousness is in Christ, then surely you will see that this righteousness is something worth bragging about. It's not what you have yourself. I think I told you that I did this on the Friday night when you interviewed me, that my first husband was a Hindu. And he was converted to Christ by a Muslim who had been converted to Christ himself. And the Muslim was preaching on this verse, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. It makes us feel terribly small when we think of that. All the good deeds we've done are filthy rags. Horrible, isn't it? I'm sure you've seen people that are fairly righteous, that are good people. You hate to tell them that they're all just filthy rags. I saw a beautiful phrase once, and this is what it said. God sees me as perfect because the sun gets in his eyes. And sun is spelt S-O-N. You see, ladies, you are righteous. You are clothed in his righteousness. And you will have peace like a river. Not like the waves of the sea. Not like those apostate people that were there raging waves and leaving filthy foam on the beach. This is peace like a river. Calmness within it. Some of us are going through an amazing amount of stress. I know, because in any group of ladies, there are people who have got stress in their lives that they will never show you on the outside. We have learnt, as good women, to hide our emotions, and we have learnt, as very good women, to live up to the phrase which says, she'll cope. True? Absolutely true. And yet we know that way down within our lives, there's all sorts of things that have been going on that we can't sometimes even share with anybody else. We've got things we're thinking about and people we're praying for and problems that are amazingly big, burdens that we carry almost on our own. And we come across a verse of scripture like this and say, peace like a river. You've got to be kidding. What happened to the peace like a river that I should have within my life? Well, I want to tell you that this is the promise of God. It doesn't mean you're going to feel good. It doesn't even mean the problems are going to be fixed. But what it does mean is that God is in control. And that's when you have peace that's fragmented. If you don't believe God is in control, your peace is not there. I read a poem once and I memorized it because I loved it so much. I want to share it with you this morning because it's one that I treasure. It says, I stood a mendicant of God, a beggar. That's all we are, just before God. But I stood a mendicant of God before his royal throne and asked him for one little gift to call my very own. I took the gift from out his hand, but ere I would depart, I said, but Lord, this is a thorn, and it has pierced my heart. This is a mean and hurtful gift that you have given me. He said, I only give good gifts. My best I've given thee. I took it home, and though at first the cruel thorn hurt sore, I grew at last, as long years passed, to love it more and more. I learned he never gives a thorn without his added grace. He takes the thorn to pin aside the veil that hides his face. And ladies, that is peace like a river. Peace like a river that comes from him. He takes that thorn, whatever it is, just to pin aside the veil that's hiding his face. You will learn so much more from him because of the problems that you have in your life. There's a place in Tuong where there are over 1,000 people that do not have a single problem. It's the cemetery. You see, ladies, if you've got one problem, you're alive. If you've got two problems, you're more alive, and some of us are really living, aren't we? Yes, we know what it's like. But this is what the scripture says. Peace like a river is ours who are not apostates. And then we want to look at the last one. It says, wandering stars. Let's look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, somewhere in there. Daniel chapter 12. And verse 3. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. There's no wandering stars for us, no stars that are going to be reserved for blackest of darkness. This is what a believer, a wise person. It says, the beginning of wisdom is acknowledging the Lord. And those of you that have acknowledged the Lord are wise. And it says here, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. People will see your life, ladies, and they will follow you because you are a star. I'm sure all of us have at some time of our lives, have wanted to be a movie star or famous or wanted to be able to do whatever it was that was going to bring you this wonderful spot of fame. Oh yes, we probably all did it. Maybe it was just at ballet classes when you were about 6 and you wanted to be, Margot Fontaine or something. And later on you realized you weren't ever going to be that. But you did have a fleeting moment at one stage in your life when you might have wanted to be famous. Well, look what you are going to be. It says, those of you who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And we haven't even discovered the heavens yet. God knows what this is about. We have just discovered our solar system. Can you imagine what the real heavens are like? Way out there. We're just discovering them. You will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. I thought this just meant if you led somebody to the Lord where they made a decision to follow the Lord. That's true. That's important, and we should be soul winners. But it doesn't mean just that. It means leading people in the paths of righteousness, helping others to make right decisions. These are people who are going to live lives that are praiseworthy to our Lord, which will make up that wonderful forest which is pleasing to the Lord, planted for His pleasure. And we are responsible to lead people in the paths of righteousness. Isn't it amazing? I traveled a fair bit, and I went to Taiwan a few years ago. And when I went over there, I discovered that I had to speak on one topic, and it said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Well, I had to say something about Australia and something about the Creator and something about youth. So I said, the Creator has done a lot of important and necessary things in Australia, and there are some of them that are really quite strange, like kangaroos and koalas and, you know, all those sorts of things. So I was going to talk about all the strange animals in Australia, and then I realized, no, they probably know all that stuff. I mean, they've probably seen it in zoos. I don't know. But I did know something, that my message was going to be translated. And I knew I had to go slowly, and I couldn't get too complicated here, so I didn't want to start explaining pouched animals and all this sort of stuff. And so I decided I would instead talk about Ayers Rock. I said, nobody could have seen Ayers Rock unless they actually come to Australia. You can't see an Ayers Rock in the zoo. And so I started to describe Ayers Rock, and I started to read it myself, read about it myself. I discovered it was 330 meters high. Now, I have actually climbed it. Just call me Hillary or Tenzing, whatever you like. I've actually climbed to the top of that, and it is an amazing rock. It's miles around the base, absolutely huge. And I was so impressed with myself when I told all these Taiwanese people about this massive rock in the center of Australia and how the Creator had put it there, 330 meters high. Now, if I stand up really tall, I'm not even 2 meters high. Can you imagine 330 meters high? Yes. And guess what? They say there's more of it underneath. That's a big rock. Well, I had great fun talking to the Taiwanese people, and soon after that, we went directly from there to America. And when I got to America, we were invited to a conference that we knew nothing about. We were asked to just attend, so we did. And we had no idea that it was one of these wild conferences. I don't know whether you've ever been to a black American church, but it was wild. This church started off by saying, "Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah." And this went on all through, you see. Now, we weren't used to this at all. And I was sort of turning around like this, watching people all the time. And finally, we come to the place, and they said, "Amen." And I thought, well, should we say amen out loud? Everybody else was. It was all a big buzz around us. Somebody said, the preacher was getting more and more worked up, and he said, "God loves you." And everybody was saying, "Amen, amen." And he says, "And God wants to bless you." And they were saying, "Amen, amen." And he said, "I mean, God wants to bless you." And this woman said, "Might as well be me." She wanted to be blessed. She wasn't going to say amen or anything else like that. She said, "God wants to bless somebody, it might as well be me." Well, when they finished and they were all worked up into this real frenzy, the choir came up. And the choir was dressed in red, yellow, blue, and green. And that's the men. No, not really. That was the women. But the men did have the flashiest of ties. And they were just... it was like watching a program on TV. And listening to black music is the most beautiful music you can imagine. And as they sang, they started to explain different songs to us. Now, I don't know whether you realize that they have written a whole lot of songs that I have never heard before. And I was listening to brand new songs. And they started to sing a song about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. You remember what happened then? You remember when they were starting to throw the palms and the disciples said, "Tell them to stop." And Jesus said, "If I tell them to stop, the stones would call out." Well, you see, you're Australian. You call them stones. In America, they call them rocks. And this is how the chorus went. I'm not going to sing it to you. Believe me, I couldn't. Because the music was just absolutely engulfing. It was huge. And this is what it said. "I ain't going to let no rock outpraise me." and I thought of Ayers Rock. 330 metres high. Kilometres around the base. And I thought, I ain't going to let no rock outpraise me. This is what we call the victory.